Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Empire.
Welcome to the latest edition of All's Caps with former Capitals defenseman Carl Osner. I'm AP hockey writer Steve Wino. Capitals on a long, long road trip. Coming up, placing the Calgary Flames very soon. So we welcome in Sportsnet's Ryan Leslie. Ryan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We always ask everybody, I always ask if anyone has any dirty stories about Carl, but I don't think anyone has any. What your thoughts are of the Capitals.
Oh, no, I do. I got lots.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. I wanted to ask your thoughts from 10,000 feet away of the Capitals right now. Gone through some struggles, have won some games, and dealt with injuries. But I'm wondering what the view from Western Canada is of the Washington Capitals.
Well, I think it's a team that's, from our vantage point, had some struggles of late. It's a team that, obviously the Calgary Flames don't see a lot. It's a one-and-one type thing. And it's a team that has superstar power that can bust it wide open at any point. So current records aside, it sort of seems like traditionally, as long as I've been around, these Capitals have such potent firepower and can do some real damage on any given night. Of course, there's the obvious tie of Garnet Hathaway as well. And, you know, Troy Brouwer, who is still in Calgary, played there, had good relationships with a few former Caps, and so we see him, we hear the stories, but overall it's just a dangerous team. I don't think that's surprising to anybody, but certainly with our limited view, guys, this is a team that can inflict damage at any point, to certainly to Calgary, who in the last number of games Calgary against Washington, Calgary just hasn't fared so well. So yeah, it's a team that can strike a little fear into you, especially when you've got the great eight.
You know, it's interesting, though, to think about it, too. It's when you don't see a team very often, it's their history, right? Like you said, that's what you remember, right? So if you only see a team 1-1, it doesn't matter what the Flames, for example, have been doing recently. It's only what the Caps remember from them last time, right? It's not like the team could be having a bad year and, you play them like a bad team. It's not necessarily the case. You know, the Caps would come in and play them like they were the Calgary Flames of last season, that are stingy, although they may not be stingy. That's what's freshest in your brain. So I think both teams are kind of going through some similar things right now, where it's just not what they're used to having, I guess you could say. And so in a way, it's almost a clean slate when you go from east to west, because you don't have to worry about it as much.
Yeah. And you would know that better than anybody, as far as the mindset against teams that you never really see. And, I can speak to sort of the mindset of Calgary. That's exactly true, because a lot of teams still, Carl, to your point, will say, it's a Daryl Sutter team. And, that's going to be, from like the 04 era. Like, that's kind of the mentality people still think when they don't see them on a regular basis, even though these teams are completely different. Identities are different. Night in, night out, it's different. So, great hat, by the way. And
he's wearing, for those who are not watching but listening, Carl's wearing a Canadian flag hat.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
It is.
So that really fits, I find, what you're saying with what Calgary kind of brings to the limited table for teams that see them once or twice a year.
Well, and it's also a way different look too, right? Like for Caps fans, last time that they saw Calgary, it was, they had some different players. They had a Goudreau, Tkachuk in the lineup, and that's shifted quite a bit. Now they have some players there that Caps fans are pretty familiar with, with a Huberto and Weaver and stuff. What's that been like for those guys and for the fans around them to see those two? I'm sure that were pretty big fan favorites to be gone and the replacements.
Yeah, it's a good point, because those were big losses, and I remember this all going down in the summer and having it happen almost in real time. And and kind of dealing with chatting with the players as they were exiting and about to exit and hearing that they were exiting. And so for the fan base, it was utter shock, Carl. Like, I'm sure your ties to Calgary would probably have asked you, like, hey, what is going on here? Did you hear about this? Can you believe these cornerstone pieces of Gaudreau and Tkachuk are gone? And do we hate them? What is happening? What's the return? John's gone for free. Matthew's now going to – what's the return? Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. So you get the return from Huberdeau and Uyghur, a prospect in Cole Schwinn, and a first-round pick. Everybody's like, Tkachuk who?
Yeah.
Joking, but that's a great haul. And then all of a sudden you parlay that first-rounder into getting Nazem Kadri, and all of a sudden now Brad's walking out to that you know, he's walking around feeling like, not he, but the people in the city are like, this is unbelievable. This is, yeah, this is incredible. He was up against it, and this is his return. So I think everybody was okay. And then all of a sudden the season starts. Matthew picks right up where he left off. And I thought it was a great point that Sutter and others made, it just that, you know, Matthew wanted the trade. So he wasn't shocked by it. And mentally, he wasn't phased. These new guys, pardon me, were rattled by it because you're cruising around in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
You know, even though you're Canadian boys, you're like, okay, wait a minute. This is where my career has been. Yeah, yeah, I've got a Lamborghini over here I got to deal with now. Suddenly you don't need that, and you need an F-150.
You need the SUV,
and,
yeah.
And that's it. So it's taken them some time. We're starting, guys, to see it round into form. Is it dominant? Is it the most explosive back end and forward in the league? No, not yet. But, you know, Huberto's been dealing with some injuries. Uyghur's figuring out the system. One Flame told me, near the beginning, he said, you know, it's going to take those boys a good month to wrap their heads around Daryl. He goes, I don't worry about Nazem Kadri, but the other two, it might take some time. And that's exactly what happened. Nazem Kadri was kind of the best player going, you know, right out of the gate for some time. The other two are just now finding their feet and figuring out Daryl's system. Huberto, again, a little nicked up throughout the beginning part of this season. But both have been a pleasure to deal with, and both you're getting a sense of just how effective they can be.
That's a great point, Ryan. I'm curious, Carl, when you switched teams, was it hard for you to mentally get your head around, not only obviously Claude Julien, because we've talked about that plenty, but just playing for a new team, a new surrounding, all of that?
Yeah, I was going to say that. So it is, it's, yeah, when you go somewhere where you're very comfortable and, you know, you love life like you would in Fort Lauderdale, teams winning, all that stuff, your team scores a lot of goals, like, it's so hard to tell yourself, okay, now this is the new normal, because you're just like, I just want that. I want my old normal back, right? And it's so hard to be able to switch and just think, you know what, this is just a job. Go out there and do it and play. And I think more often than not, it doesn't work out. You know, at least it takes some time for it to work out, I should say. It doesn't happen right away. So yeah, you know, you go from one place where you got all your buddies and everything. Like, you saw the video of Huberto and Barkov at the line talking to each other and stuff like that. It's just, you want those friendships back, because although you're going to make new ones, it just never feels the same. So it is extremely difficult. And then throw in a new system, you know, from a coach that is so good defensively and is very, you know, strict in what he wants, versus, you know, run and gun that they had in Florida. It's just an extremely hard transition to make, and it may not even happen this season. You know, it may take more than a month, as I think it does for a lot of players. So, you know, we'll see what ends up happening. But yeah, that would be probably a pretty big unwelcoming shock getting that call that you're going from Florida to Calgary. Although I love Calgary, it's not always for everybody.
Very true. When we come back on All Caps, we've got some questions about Daryl Sutter. I want to talk about Jacob Markstrom as well with Ryan, and then later on, Carl's stupid question.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to OzCast with former Capitals fan and Carl Osner and SportsCenter Ryan Leslie. I'm AP hockey writer Steve Wino. We will get to hockey stuff. Ryan just told us his Thanksgiving meal in D.C. before the Capitals Flames on Black Friday was a hotel dinner that included the best fries on earth. Carl, what are we doing?
I mean, I'll let Ryan give his opinion. I don't know if I can go on earth, but
among the best in D.C.
Among the best in DC, yeah. I was saying that I often make a pit stop at that at the Four Seasons just to get the fry sample platter as an appetizer. If I'm in the area and I have extra time, I'm going there. Except for the one time I tried to go there and ended up witnessing the car accident right outside the hotel and had to be a witness and then missed out on my fries. The babysitter needed to go home, so that was the only time it didn't work out. But yes, I do, Ryan. I'm curious your thoughts on them.
Well, yeah, it was a lovely thing. Yeah, I don't know about best on the planet, but in the National Hockey League, the Never Hungry League, yeah, it was delicious. My traditional Thanksgiving fare this year included room service with a massive burger and those fries you speak of. And yeah, it was honestly $50 American for a burger and fries. I think that's reasonable.
When you're out of Four Seasons.
Good Lord. Look, are you guys doing it? No wonder this town's full of crooks.
Look, inflation has killed us. But we are a podcast of food. The Bell Center hot dogs are our favorite and all of that. We love Bruce Boudreaux.
The Sheehan Show.
The Sheehan Show. And we might find out. I don't know how many, Carl, of your questions are going to involve food later, but we're a big breakfast sandwich podcast here, in addition to talking Capitals hockey.
Are you getting any free food, gentlemen, as a result of these plugs?
Not yet.
But we don't get anything. We just have fun.
We enjoy ourselves. The next step is getting free things. We need to take the podcast on the road, do like a Clyde's bit, and then also get the free food. That's we'll next. I wanted to ask real quick, and I know, Carl, you had a thing about Darryl Sutter, but Jacob Markstrom, and I know the Capitals lit him up a lot when he was with Florida very early in his career, and a lot of teams lit him up back then. What have you seen from Jacob Markstrom as a goaltender that kind of has seen him kind of grow into a dominant force and in a lot of talk, kind of Vezina talk in previous years?
Well, you just said the word, and that's grow. And there's been growth. There's been maturity. There's been a professionalism. And I think that the desire to win and, you know, his competitive streak has always been there. But he's all business as he's grown. And I think early on, and Carl may be able to speak to this, he was a little wilder on the on that side of things. And pardon me, I don't mean that necessarily in a negative. I just think he just probably wasn't the same person he is today. And he's a really good goaltender who can be quite candid and quite honest. And it's really refreshing because, you know, he said the other day to us, both on camera and away from the cameras, that he just, you know, I got to, they're not wrong. I got to make one more stop. I can't be letting one in a game that sort of says, oh man, you know, it's deflating to your group. And he's aware of that. So I like that. I like a goalie who will come on out and say, you know, point the finger at his chest and go, it was me, or I've got to do this, because it's no different than when Carl was playing and he did it, or his teammates did it, or whatever. Goalies are no different. And I find if they do that, because it's such an integral position, like if they do that and just own it, you move on from it. When you kind of point the finger outward and go, well, I don't know what was going on in front of me, or if we didn't take so many penalties, that, again, I defer to Carl, but that has a ripple effect, and that has a way of coming across the wrong way, even though the context or the intention is different than our perception. So this guy's really dialed in professionally. He's really dialed in on the ice, and he's dialed in with his strengths and his weaknesses. And for the most part, and you remember, guys, he had 9 shutouts last year.
Yep.
And it's a different year right now. He almost broke Mika Kiprusoff's record or franchise record there, Carl. And that's saying something. As you know, that guy is still to this day a legend in Calgary. So you know, this guy is not Mika Kiprusoff, but he is the best goalie to come along since Mika Kiprusoff.
And Dursa Kemper, by the way, did that the other after allowing two bad goals against the Flyers. He's like, look, call a spade, they're bad goals. And I'm sure as a teammate, you love to hear that.
Yeah, two things. Kipper, the funny story about him is that he had to, because he was like him and Gainla were gods in that, are still gods in that city if they ever spend any time there. But he had to live in Okotoks. And Ryan, you know where Okotoks is. Like, that's a haul from downtown. Now that they have a new ring road in there, it's maybe a little closer, but that's like a solid 45, 50 minute drive from the arena. And that's where they practice all the time. He had to go down there just because there was less people around that would bug him. You know, he used to go watch his kids play hockey in his hoodie with his hood on and stuff. So like that, he was, if Markstrom could have got to that and beat that, that would have definitely propelled him closer to that level for sure. But going back to the accountability, right? That's like one of the biggest words thrown around in sports is being accountable, doing your job, you know, the Bill Belichick saying, you know, just make sure that you execute what you need to do. And so I always found, especially as you get a little bit older too, is if you're one of those guys that can shoulder some of that blame, is okay with kind of processing it. And if that may even be your way to get through it. Markstrom's way to get through it is to be outward and talk about it so that he can process through that. But even like for maybe a younger guy who, you know, feels or thinks that they made a mistake on a play that was costly, to have your D partner or a winger on your line or whatever come out and be like, you know what, that was my fault, that I should have been better. And, you know, maybe they'll chime in and be like, no, I should have had my check. And then just back again, like, you know what, we never would have been in that situation if it wasn't for me not getting that puck in, right? That's just the accountability factor. Just
sure.
you own up to your mistakes that you made, and maybe that settles someone else down. Because maybe in their head, even though they don't say it, they're like, oh, yeah, he's right, he should have had that puck in. I'm just going to stop now, and I feel better, right? And so some guys just need that. They need to be able to talk about it and let everybody else know that they know that they messed up. It's not a secret. I know I screwed up. I know I shouldn't have got beat out of the corner, whatever it is. So, you know, it's a good thing for him to be able to work through it. And then just getting it to the next level where you can get that confidence back.
Carl, I would ask a question to you on that front. Is there too much going on there sometimes? In other words, for example, Jack Campbell, who kind of came out and said, I was pathetic. Like, he kind of processes so much that, you know, in chatting with some guys who know him, especially early on in his career, he would go so outwardly on this. I was terrible. You're almost like, I got to patch this guy up. And then he's, you know, inconsolable for a while. And, you know, he's mentally talked himself right out of things. So there is a balance, isn't there?
100%. That's the other factor there, is that if you come out and say too much, you know, and in an interview, for example, and say, you know, exactly that, I'm awful, or we were awful. You the next day, what do you see in the headline? It's like the so-and-so says that his team was awful, you know, and then it just starts snowballing and gets ugly. So I think that there's definitely a fine line to walk there when you're saying your feelings, you know. I know it happened to me a couple times where I would say, you know, we were bad or something like that. And then the next day it doesn't look so good, right? Wino knows.
Yeah, because you actually said what you felt.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that I should, you know, a lot of times just keep inside the dressing room. But at the same time, it's good every now and then for it to come out. So I think that you need to, like I said, maybe it's just the way some guys deal with it. Maybe it's the same thing for Campbell. He needs to just come out and be like, holy smokes, I was terrible, I need to be better. And then it's just off his chest, right?
Pathetic's a strong word, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's headline worthy. I was pathetic.
Yeah. Oh, and we say that all the time. Like, I can't tell you how many times guys will come back to the bench and just be like, I suck. Like, or after a game, be like, with the Caps, we had a thing where we'd call ourselves Terrys, and the Terry meant that you were bad. And it's a long story with Ovi's English, but guys would come in
was
after
terrible.
Well,
it wasn't a reference to Chris Terry.
Yes, it was.
Okay, so,
yeah. You new just guy. Have guys after games being like, I was such a Terry today or something like that. And it's a way to like process, but also make guys laugh. So yeah, you need to, it happens a lot, and it just helps some guys better than others.
Carl, did you want to ask about Daryl Sutter? Because I want to ask a question about you next, and then we got to get to stupid questions.
Well, I mean, it's not a big deal. I just think that Sutter is kind of one of those guys that if you're not around him very much, you just love to laugh at the facial expressions, the quiet, you know, not many worded answers and stuff like that. And I'm sure it can be frustrating at times to deal with, but at the same time, he's kind of like a national treasure. He's just like one of those guys that's so funny to see. And he could make top 10 clips all the time for some of the stuff he gets. I'm curious your interactions with him, how they've been so far.
I'm guessing you've never played for him, Carl.
Only his brother. Then his brother scared the hell out of me. So I'm
yeah, sure and Brent's a lot milder, as you know. Yeah.
Perfect answer.
Yeah, it's day to day. It's Daryl's way, and these players. Listen, there's no doubt he's a very, very good coach, and it's proven that he is the reigning Jack Adams. He was just rewarded with a 2-year extension after this year, and certainly he is. Got a great relationship with ownership. He's certainly got a great relationship with Flames fans. And, you know, he's won 2 Stanley Cups. So on the winning side of things, that's really, really hard to argue with. On the snippets that you'll hear on Instagram or any kind of social media, it's really enjoyable and funny. And thank you, he's putting that guy in his place and all that stuff. So you just roll with it.
Well, I made John Tortorella swear the other day, so I kind of know what that is like of dealing with a coach who can sometimes be analytical, can sometimes be a pain in the ass. Tortorella and Daryl Sutter remind me a little bit of each other in that way. Although I think Tortorella is a little more brash than Daryl.
No chance.
You think Daryl's more brash than Torts?
John Tortorella is mild compared to Daryl Sutter.
I'm going to take your word.
Can you imagine that? Now there's your headline in your newspapers.
Yeah, there's always some things that can be aired on TV and stuff, right? So there's a lot of stuff that's
as you know, Carl, there's public version of coaches and there's behind the camera version of coaches. So
that's so very true. Before we get to stupid questions, what is your favorite Carl Alsner story?
You know what? I would say, I don't know if it's a story, but I'll give you, it's a perception. I had the good fortune of covering Carlin Jr. And then to watch his career blossom the way it did. And I can safely say, Steve, earmuffs, Carl, he was one of the nicest guys I ever had the pleasure of dealing with. And I don't think anybody, that would be what comes to mind for everyone, sure, here in the DC area. But certainly covering him in Western Canada early on, seeing him represent internationally, seeing his NHL career explode, seeing him, you know, not turn into, because he was always a fine young man when we dealt with him. So I think just watching it progress, watching it happen, and never saying no, except for when I absolutely needed him on a television broadcast.
Well, in my defense, I'm still going to try and make it out there today. We'll see. We'll see what we can do.
No, and honestly, that is what everyone says. That's why this has worked, because Carl and I did this in a locker room for a decade. What we hadn't done is Carl asking questions. So when we come back, Ryan Leslie, you are going to be the latest victim of Carl's stupid questions. Welcome back to All's Cast with Carl Alzer and Ryan Leslie. I'm Steve Wino, and now our favorite portion of the show, Carl's Stupid Questions.
All right, let's get going here. So we just had American Thanksgiving. So maybe not so fresh in Canadians' minds, but in the U.S. for sure. What's your favorite Thanksgiving side? What's your go-to you have to have?
Guaranteed, it's a stuffing. No question about it.
You know, I wish I had extra. My mom's stuffing, she makes double for me when I come up, is the best stuffing I've ever had.
So, really?
Yes.
Why is it so good?
It's got sausage in it, and it's just the perfect mix of like the breadcrumb, whatever, with the meat in there. I know, Carl, you're not a meat eater, so there certainly can do a vegetarian version of that, but it's great.
I appreciate that. Ryan, are you stuffing inside the bird or do it on the side?
Well, I think it's got to start in there, and then it's got to be on the side. I'm a combo. Gotcha. I'm a hybrid guy, Carl.
Yeah. I like that.
Hybrid's not bad.
Sorry, I got to ask you this too. Do you ever put marshmallows on sweet potato?
I've seen it done. I think it's amateur hour. Marshmallows, yeah. And same with that Jello salad, get lost.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm with you on
I
both
I can
those.
Confirm.
Yes.
Those need to get
good.
Lost.
Good.
Okay, perfect. I'm with you on that one. Bonus points. Okay, What is worse, having a week long of minus 20, Celsius, minus 20 weather, rain, hard rain for a week straight, or a heat wave of like 35 plus, no air conditioning?
The worst version of those three?
Yeah, which one would you hate the most?
Hands down, the rain.
The rain. Yeah. Yeah, I guess when you're not around rain, that way, and we have rain right now too. Awful. So
wait. So that with no air conditioning, so does that mean the cold with no heat?
No. Everyone's kind of got heat, okay. Right? But not everyone has air conditioning.
Yeah, you give me some. I'm an Ontario guy. I'm an East Coast guy. It gets hot in the summer. I know where to find the lakes. I can handle that. I used to wake up in the middle of the night before everybody had air conditioning in their house. That's how old I am. And you'd have to run down at 2 a.m. and go swim in the lake. I would do that in the winter, especially in Calgary, minus 20, no big deal. Everybody, it's usually sunny there. So your mood's good. You get out, you snowboard, you do whatever. The rain, you got no options.
Fair enough.
All right. It's probably the right answer. Okay. We're in December now at the time of this. When is the appropriate time to decorate for Christmas?
December 1.
December 1. That's the date. Is there an inappropriate time? Like could you go a week before?
Any time before Remembrance Day is offside.
Yeah, it's offside. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty early.
I go with the Thanksgiving borderline. Like the Black Friday, you can. Before Thanksgiving, you can't.
Which is it? Is it Thanksgiving? You guys, I don't understand.
U.S. Thanksgiving.
I love it all. But how do you celebrate two at one? Celebrate Thanksgiving, enjoy the football, and then flip the gear right after Thanksgiving.
Immediately.
And Christmas.
Immediately.
Yeah. Don't cross.
That's fine. I'm fine there. With that. After Thanksgiving, yes.
No, yeah. Do not cross the sauce. Okay, best hockey uniform of all time:
Montreal Canadiens, Detroit Red Wings.
Ooh, yes, I'm with you on Detroit for sure.
The Reds—they're gorgeous on ice.
Yeah, and you grew up a Montreal fan, right?
How did you know that? Yes, I did.
Come on, I know my stuff.
The hockey sweater.
You can't have a podcast and not do any research.
Wow, impressive, Carl.
Got to put at least 5 minutes in, right?
Yeah.
Okay, favorite Christmas movie.
Okay, yes. I have two children, so it's a combo, right? There's some Elf mixed in with Polar Express. Polar Express. Me with a little Home Alone 1, maybe 2, but don't push it after that. There's one I feel like I'm forgetting, but I'm a big Christmas guy, Carl. I can answer your Christmas question.
Yes, I mean, I thought about just asking all Christmas questions, but not everybody is as into it as me, so I kind of left a few off. All right, see, I debated on you said we were going to talk more food, so I actually erased a food question because I thought people would get sick of it, but I'm going to go back to it right now. I need to know give me your ideal breakfast order. If you're at a hotel, which you are currently as we're speaking, but you're in a hotel, nice breakfast menu. What are you ordering?
Well, I love a good Eggs Benny.
Ooh.
It's hard to, I mean, right to my hips with that hollandaise sauce, but that's a go-to for me. I'm not a big breakfast guy, but when I do allow myself to go that route, I do enjoy that. When I'm having a cheat day, Carl.
When you're having a cheat day and you allow yourself to eat in the morning.
Are you erasing questions? You're very diligent over here. I love this.
Oh, man. I got all the questions that I've asked plus all the answers written down so I can go back, reference them at some point here. So, all right. That believe it or not, that's the six already. So I got to quickly add these up here. You scored quite well.
Can I ask
well.
A question in the meantime?
Sure.
Steven, is that your real last name?
It is absolutely my real last name. This is not a stage name.
That might be the greatest last name in the NHL media world. Why not?
And two things. One, and people always ask where did it come from. My family name was Waglianoni, from Italian, whatever, and changed it sort of the Ellis Island thing to Waglianoni, and they scribbled down something and it's Wino. And yeah, I mean, it was not great in childhood, but it's a conversation starter now. And everybody in hockey media calls me Stefan Wino because there was that 2018 Cup final. They did a conference call with Gerard Gallant and Barry Trotz. And then and I asked a question. And Natter's like, and we go to Stefan Wino. And I was like, well, it's Wino, but thank you. Okay, Barry, what do you think? And then they go back to me later. And they're like, and we go back to Stefan Wino. So now I am known as Stefan Wino as much as anything else.
That's pretty good. I don't know how you get Wheat.
I mean, that's a National League last name.
Thank you very much. It is way better as an adult than it was as a kid growing up.
And one of the other best names, Roger Millions, who you know really well. That's a pretty solid one too.
Yeah, Dodger Billions. We love that one.
That's pretty good. All right. So yeah, after that quick total, you ended up with 322 points, which going back to my records, yeah, that's top three, I'm pretty sure. So
on the podium?
Oh yeah, right now you're sitting bronze. Congratulations on that. That's
all right.
That's huge. Yeah. Good answers. Really good job.
I'll take that. I'm just wondering where I could have scored better, Carl. Where in your mind did I go off the rails?
Well, you said best hockey uniform, Montreal. And I just can't get down with anything Montreal.
Hold on.
It didn't end well, as you know.
But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you got some bank out of Montreal. There should be a little bit more by way of good feelings.
No good feelings there. I can't.
Hold on. What's your answer for the best jersey? I like Chicago. I forgot that one.
Yeah, I'm actually a huge fan of Detroit. So it could have been really bad. That's why you're still on the podium, because you said Detroit in there.
If you had just said Montreal, I would have tanked your score.
Yeah, he would have been in the.
What did you say? And I wondered if you loved it because you had an appreciation for all of it. You're a bit of a student of the game, and but obviously, you know, it didn't end well there. But what is your favorite jersey then? Is it Detroit?
I'd say Detroit is up there without a doubt. Yeah, probably one or two. It's tough because I actually really do like the Leafs jersey as well. You know, I know it's hard to say, but I grew
now
up.
You're off.
Well, you grew up. Well, you grew up a Leafs fan, right?
I grew up a Leafs fan. Yeah. So
yeah, I grew up down the road from Toronto.
Yeah, and for some reason you wanted to go to the dark side. I'm sure that went over well with all your buddies.
It didn't. I watched a couple of Stanley Cups by myself, Carl.
Yeah, I bet.
You know what they didn't watch? Stanley Cups.
This is also
get this. Get this. I actually made a bet with a guy in the ninth grade, Dave Chappell, and we still laugh about it whenever I go home. I don't know how you collect on this bet, but I made him a bet that the Leafs will never win the Stanley Cup in my lifetime.
Come on.
And they never have. And I don't know how I collect the money. There's got to be a cap or
there's
something.
There's a statute of limitations at some point, right?
There has to be.
That's. I think you go until, I think, age 65. That's when the bet
65,
ends.
65, yes. That's fair.
That's very fair. This is also a podcast of making fun of the Leafs. Ryan, thanks for joining us on All's Caps.
Guys, thanks for having me. It's great to see you. Steve, Mr. Wino. I love it. Thanks so much for having me. And anytime you want to chat food and all things Carl Alter, let me know.
We have fun around here. Thanks, everybody, for listening to All's Caps. We'll talk to you next week.